Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers. Today's worship service will take a little bit different direction than we normally do here. The Bible tells us these words in the book of Mark in chapter 11, verse number 17. It says these words, it says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Did you know who said that? God did. Jesus quoted the Old Testament in a dialogue with a bunch of people who were using the temple for something other than it was there for. A house of prayer for all nations. Do you realize that that's really what God wants us to be? God wants us as a church to be a house of prayer for all nations. Nations doesn't mean territories like America, Mexico, and Brazil. It can mean that, but that's not what it means here in the text. In the text, it means people groups, because there are people groups all over the world. And there are people groups here in this region, people groups in Northwest Arkansas. God was saying we need to pray for all of them, ultimately for the purpose of coming to Christ, but also that God will meet them right where they are at the point of their need. We began on January 1, the first day of the year, with 21 days of prayer. We knew that would be a little bit of a challenge because it's the first day of the year. And the Lord gave me an idea that we would do that early in the morning, and we would offer via Facebook Live or by people calling in with a phone, wherever they are in the world, and be able to engage in these 20 minutes. I lead every one of them. I'll be leading every one of them unless something really different happens, but I'm leading all of them. And with that, we've been engaging a few hundred people in that first 20 minutes, beginning at 6:30, from 6:30 to 6:50. And we began the new year that way. And with that, let me just tell you that the folks that gather live, there's a whole different group later that watches and participates with us. Facebook is an amazing source and an amazing thing. We had no idea what would happen. It's quite extraordinary what's going on. We would have never dreamt it, but only God would. But do you know the Lord takes that gathering of a couple of hundred, 300, 400 folks in that early morning period of spending that 20 minutes, and every day this year through Facebook later that day, thousands of people have participated. Pretty remarkable. In fact, one day, and it'll still grow, we had over 10,000 people participate with us from all over the world. That's pretty amazing, is it not? I mean, what a great opportunity. When people call in, we now have people calling in from all over America. I mean, it's a church initiative. It's nothing else. But they found out about it. They want to be a part of it. And so we've been having about 25 or so states a day call in from everywhere. It's pretty incredible. And I want to urge you, if you haven't been on with us, for you to get on with us. You can do it while you're getting ready in the morning, or you can do it
focused, or you can do it later on in the day or on your way to work, whatever it may be. And it's all available, even post being alive moment, all on Facebook. Now, because of that, and we're in this moment of 21 days of prayer, we really believe it would be important for us to do what Jesus said, especially on this day, on this year, mainly because we feel led to do it, that we spend the first Sunday morning totally committed to prayer. Totally committed to prayer at a church, you know. It's amazing how much prayer is no longer in the church. We need to get prayer back in the church, and we need to get it back in the lives of believers. And I realize today when I say that's a little different for you. I promise I will not make you uncomfortable. I promise I will not disturb you in that. I would not ask you to pray out loud. I'm not going to ask you to do any of that unless you want to. And so please know that you have nothing to fear except just being what God wants you to be. And so today, what we're going to do in a few moments, we're going to be entering in to about three areas of prayer. One will be related to our personal life. One will be related to the church, and one will be related to America. Things specifically over this worship service and specifically with you today. And so I really want you to use the next couple of minutes to really prepare your heart. And I hope that you will do that while I pray. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that the power of your Spirit would fall upon this room. There are moments we come to church and we always know you're there. But then there are those days when the manifested presence of God happens. And something extraordinary goes on. And there's an outpouring of the Spirit that is unusual. We know you're sovereign today, but we do pray for that and ask that the manifest presence of God would take place in this room, in our lives. I pray that you will bless those who give today. Thank you for the hand of God that has provided over these last several weeks. And I pray, Lord, that you have been pleased. And as we give, whether it be in this room, via online, through recurring giving, I pray that you would meet needs, touch lives. Now prepare our hearts to have greater faith. And it's the Bible that gives us faith. When we see God move according to His Word, something happens. And as we see these verses on the text, on the scripture today, on the screens, may God build us up with great faith. In the name of Jesus. The very first point of prayer that I want us to focus in today in this worship service is relating to our personal lives. The scripture here tells us so many things about our personal life, from being forgiven to being filled with the Holy Spirit to walking in obedience to God. One of my favorite that really encourages me along the way, probably because I need it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's not a day we go by individually that we do not need to confess our sins to God. Act upon what God did for us at the cross, receiving by faith all that Jesus did for us. This whole element of receiving His forgiveness, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, hearing the Lord and knowing what God wants you to do in your life. So many things. We don't ask our people to do this a lot, and perhaps we should. But you know, the scripture is real clear about there are all kind of ways you come to God. Obviously, we come to God in the name of Jesus through prayer. But it even talks about our posture along the way. And you know, one of the things the church has lost, and I realize that some cannot do this physically. I get it. But many of us can. In fact, the vast majority of us can. The importance of humbling ourselves before God, whether it's done daily or whether it's done weekly or periodically, this is going to be one of those moments that if you're physically able, I'm going to lead you through a process here today. And as I lead you through this process, I just would like for you to join me on your knees. That's right, on your knees. If you can. If it's uncomfortable where you are, you can come to the front here and just kneel. But you join me now, please, wherever you may be. I know it made me a little uncomfortable. But as you're bowed in prayer, if you're not able to bow on your knees, have your heart bowed to God. We just say, God, you're greater than we are. I want us to begin today by just confessing our sins to God. God, we do sin, and we have even made mistakes today and confess sins today. Just tell Him. And if you know what some of those are, He knows them. Confess them, because He has already forgiven them. And His forgiveness is appropriated in your life by His grace and through the cross. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Now surrender your heart to God. Surrender your life to God today. Say, Pastor, I'm already a Christian. I understand. But every day we need to surrender our lives to the Lord. All of us. Why don't you do this today? Just say these words or something like this at your chair or you're kneeling. Lord, I give you my mind where my greatest attacks come from. I give you my will. I give you my emotion. I give you my body. I give you my spirit. I give you my tongue. What I say. My attitude. What I think. My motives. Purify my motives. I give you my past. My present. Today. It's your day. And I give you the future you have for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Control my future. Control my life. You're yielding to Him, submitting to Him. And ask you over the next few minutes we're in this worship service, God, give me ears to hear. What are you saying to me? Ask God to show you your needs. The things that bind you in your life that you need freedom from. And tell the Lord as I pray, I hope that you'll help me to be willing to pray for others where it's not just about me. And Lord, I really hope that if I have a need today, I will let someone else pray for me. Letting someone else pray for us is not a weakness, it's a strength because you know how much you need it. Lord, do this in our hearts. Do it in our lives.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Would you ask Him to fall upon you today?
Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God.
Now let's ask God to give us clean hands and a clean heart. Would you stand with me and remain standing? And let's worship for a moment today.
So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another God. Give us clean hands,
that's our prayer.
Give us pure hearts. Lord, let us not lift our souls to another. Sing. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts.
We want.
Let us not lift our souls to another. So give us clean hands,
Jesus.
Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And oh God, let us be a generation that sees the sea so.
Now let's sing, Spirit of the Living God. Let's sing that now.
Oh, and Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Yes, the Spirit of the Living God, fall.
Where you are today, I want you to move into the second area of prayer with us today. I want us to pray for our church today. Remember what I said a moment ago? There's a moment that we need to pray ourselves, for ourselves. There are moments that we need to pray for others. Our church is one of those others. Pretty important because Jesus loves it, gave his life for it. We're all a part of it. And today what I'd like for you to do, and we're going to handle this in a different way, I'm going to ask you to, in a moment, to get in just groups of six or eight people. And so would you go ahead and make your way to about six or eight people around you, and just make your groups, and you don't need to be loud about it. It's pretty simple. They're right around you. There are two specific areas we're going to pray for relating to our church. The first thing is important because we were told it's important. We need to pray for unity in our church. Unity. You say, Pastor, do we have a problem? No, not to my knowledge. Nothing big anyway. But one of the reasons we don't is because we pray for unity. We practice steps toward unity. The scripture says that Jesus wants us to agree in what we say, that there be no divisions among us, and that we be united with the same understanding and conviction. Now today, based upon the Word and upon the centrality of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I want just one person in that group, and if there's no one in that group to do it, that's fine. You can do it silently, even while you're standing as a group. That at least is a community. But if there's one of you that will pray for the unity of our church, I want to ask you in a moment to pray. We're not going to pray, but about a minute and a half, 2 minutes in this section. But I want all of you in the group to agree in prayer. Listen to what he says or she says, and you're saying, yes, Lord, in your heart, maybe even with your words. But you're agreeing in prayer. That's what it means. So let's fill the house of God today with the prayers of God's people. And if one person of each group would just begin to pray for the unity of the church and keep it on the subject, that's what we're praying about. Just a few more seconds praying for the unity of the church. Father, I believe that there's so much disunity in the nation because there's disunity in the church. The church, meaning way beyond our church, because there's only one church, and it's the church of Jesus. But Lord, there's some 300,000 or so local congregations across this country. And so we pray for the unity of each one of those fellowships, but do it here and keep us that way. And Lord, I really believe that disunity at times happens because there's disunity in the family. I don't know of a more dysfunctional, non-communicative group than families. Would you bring unity to families today? Whatever's in the way, job, money, the past, unforgiveness, whatever it is, bring unity to families. And now I want us to turn our prayer time, as you remain with your head bowed, to another area of our church. Cross Church has 4 campuses, one in Springdale, one in Pinnacle Hills, Rogers, Bentonville, one in Neosho, Missouri, and one in Fayetteville that was started 6 years ago, I believe, today. The church at Fayetteville has really exploded. Hundreds and hundreds of college students, highly multi-generational church of all ages, families, single adults. God's given us a piece of property right on the interstate. As you're going south, it'll be on the south side and the east side of the interstate in Fayetteville at Weddington Drive. It's beautiful. God's bringing it about. This campus has potential to explode beyond the 2,000 plus that attend there every week. Well, we're nearing launch. We're nearing launch day in that new campus. Hopefully, February the 11th. If it's not, it's close. I want us to pray for the launch of our Fayetteville campus. I want one of you in the group, just pray that God just does extraordinary things. I mean, listen, they're parking people on 7 different parking lots, and we don't own any of them. It's hard to go to church there. But we're about to make it a little bit easier, and hopefully that's going to bring many, many other people there. Pray for an evangelism explosion through that campus. Pray for a mighty growth movement. Pray that God will raise it up to touch that city in a massive way. Pray the financial needs will be met. That campus alone is about halfway through their pledges on their campaign. And they're only about, I think it's 15 months in to the 3-year commitment. So we're thankful for that. And our ultimate goal as a church is that by the end of 2020 or before, all campuses, the entire Cross Church, will be completely debt-free. And we believe that's going to happen. But today I want you to pray for the launch of Fayetteville. Very important. You know, when we talk about Fayetteville, the first thing we think of is a bunch of hogs and the university. It's the largest city in our region. It needs Christ desperately. Let's pray that that launch is highly successful. God answers prayer. Would you call out to God now? Just one person. Everybody else agree. One person in the group. Let's pray for the launch of our Fayetteville campus. Would you begin? Just a few more seconds about that specific issue. One verse. I want you to turn this way now if you're finished praying. If you're not, just continue. I want us to sing this song that reminds us somewhat about the church. Let's sing it to Him today. Just one verse only.
Come thou fount of every blessing, turn my heart to see thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise thy mountain, fixed upon mount of thy redeeming.
Would you be seated, please? The third specific area we're going to pray about today is in relationship to our country. One of the questions I'm often asked is, how do we pray for the country? Not easy. In fact, after I pray for the nation, there are many days I think, Lord, I don't know if you're not hearing me. I don't know if I'm an ineffective prayer warrior, but I'm faithful. And I'm going to be faithful to pray for my country. I want you to pray with me about several things today. And you're going to do this privately, by yourself. It'd be a great way to teach us how to pray for our country. Because we're going to pray through some of the big issues in our nation. I mean, we have to trust God. But we're going to do it under this element. And that is this: give our nation's leaders clear direction to lead the people in our nation throughout the year of 2018. That is a big request. I'm thankful for every man and woman that serves this nation and has the privilege to do so. And their responsibilities are mighty and massive, all-consuming, overwhelming. And we need to pray that God gives them clarity of leadership. Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways know Him, and He will make your paths straight." That is a great prayer relating to our country. That we're going to trust God, and we're going to not rely on what we think. And in all of our ways, we as the church are going to acknowledge Him, and we're going to trust that He's going to direct the path. God is sovereign. God's got this country, folks. He's got it. He's above all, owns all, is all. And so today, as you bow your head with me for a moment, I want to ask you that the Spirit of God would move upon the leaders of our country to pray about several issues. I'm going to give you just about 15 seconds on each one of these issues. But these are big issues in our country. That God will give us clear leadership, move in a great way. First of all, while your head is bowed, on the personal credibility and the integrity of leadership. From top to bottom, the personal credibility and the integrity of leadership. God, give us clarity. And I want you to pray against this one, the divisiveness and the vitriolic communication in our nation. Whether it's among leaders, whether it's out here in the grassroots of America, the divisiveness of this nation is frightening. Only God can step in and make a difference. The vitriolic speech used toward one another and about our nation, God help us. Let's pray that God will bring clarity. God will move. God will cease it. And then just a list of issues. Recently, a tax reform bill was passed by both House and Senate, signed by the President. Now the implementation of that. Let's pray for the tax reform implementation. You say, I've never done that in my life. That's why you need to be doing it. God, give clarity to those that lead us about how to get that done in the most effective way. One of the biggest issues facing this country is in relationship to health care reform. Ask God to step in and provide leadership about health care reform in this country. And then the immigration issue, the immigration reform that is needed, overdue, passed. But let's pray that God would give our leaders the clarity to work together, trying to find a solution about a very difficult issue, very difficult. There are no easy answers, especially with the national security issues in our country. Pray for education reform across the nation. Pray for the security of our nation. We call it national security, inside and outside. Pray that our leaders will preserve the historic belief that really built this country. It's called religious liberty. That's why people came here. Religious liberty. That we will keep faith alive and central in every way. This one is a huge issue. The sanctity and dignity of human life. God, cease those things that do not hallow human life and the lack of dignity given to people because they're not like this person or that person. Terrorism, nationally and globally, another major issue. And then this issue here that some families have been, even in our congregation, have been affected by dramatically, and now it's rising to such a severe state, it's finally getting national attention. And that's drug addiction and overdose. We need the Lord to step in and to move. Father, I pray that you'll give us a heart to pray about things that we never have thought about praying about. And maybe because we haven't always given them to you and looked to you, maybe that's why they are where they are. But we pray for the leaders of our country. Not only in the national level, but the state level, the local level. God, give them clear direction, integrity of their heart, the skill of their hands to lead this massive country that we believe you have blessed in an enormous way. I told you a few moments ago, to ask God to help you to be willing to pray for yourself, to pray for others, to pray with others, or maybe to be prayed for. You know, being prayed for is not negative. Being prayed for is very positive. It shows you know your need and you're willing to have the need prayed for. I don't know what the need may be in your life today, whatever it may be. Family, financial, personal, decision mode about your future. You need God's direction from the simplest to the greatest thing. I don't know what that is, but we're going to offer a moment here today that if you would like someone to pray with you, we have pastors that are going to be located across this worship building. And I'm going to ask those pastors and then the ladies that we've asked to assist in this, I'm going to ask you to take your place. And today, whatever the need might be, why don't you come and let them pray for you? To all of our ladies here that perhaps don't have your husband with you, we have ladies specifically here so they can encourage you and pray for you. I want to urge you today to just follow the Lord's leadership and let God minister to you by being prayed for. But I'm going to ask you something very important before we do that. When we open this up in a moment and we stand together and we begin to worship in song, for those that come, would you say in one sentence what your need is? Not in a dissertation, not in a paragraph, just my need is. And then pastors or ladies who pray, keep those prayers specific and brief, because there are other people that will be coming and they're waiting to be prayed for. Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit would lead. Pray that you would meet needs, you would intervene, you'd pour out the power of God upon this place. There's nothing like people praying for other people. And so we pray that would happen. Maybe there's somebody here today that has a friend they want to pray for. May they go to that friend, take them to the altar and pray. Maybe there's people that don't need anybody to pray for them, but they just want to come pray by themselves. Lord, that's what this part is about. They can come here, they can do it at their chair, but we just pray, God, that we would decide to follow Jesus today and be ministered to by Him. So right now, if you have a need to be prayed for, already some have begun to come, I want you to make your way. We're going to stand all over the room as Pastor Brad and others lead us. You make your way and come now.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart, 'cause you're the
look around. There are pastors that you might need to get behind because there's too many one place. You can make your way to another aisle. We have pastors over here to my left, to my right, that are available.
Yes, holiness is Christ in me.